Thank you, Ron. Well, how what a blessing to my wife and I to see you all tonight. I'm reminded what the Apostle Paul said when he said into the Thessalonians, we endeavored more eagerly to see your faces with great desire. And it's a blessing to us to just see your faces tonight. Also to work with these wonderful brothers, Ron and Brother David Smith. And to me, I'm so looking forward to be under the teaching of Dr. Joe Donjell, and we're so blessed to have these great men leading us this week. Thank you for coming to the evening service. Thank you for braving the rain. If you have your Bible tonight, I invite you to the book of Colossians. We're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 1. Our hope and prayer for camp is that a twofold prayer is that God will speak to us this week through his word. You've come tonight for God to speak, haven't you? Come tonight for God to speak to us tonight. We thank God for that he'll speak to the youth. We thank God that he'll speak to the children. We pray that God will speak to all of us. He is speaking. We pray that we'll hear him tonight. So our prayer tonight and this week is that we will hear God through his word. The second half of our prayer is that we'll go home from camp more stirred and revived to stay in his word in our lives. Because the key to revival is to be in his word and to know Jesus through his word. I'm quite amazed, actually, that you come tonight. It's amazing to me in the day of technology in which we live that people come out to a service like this to listen to a person speak in person. Thank you for doing that. I guess it tells us that we are still shaped as human beings by what we hear. Scientists, social scientists, teachers tell us that, educational experts tell us that we're definitely shaped from the time we're children by what we hear with our ears, the physical sound of a voice. We can all relate stories tonight of a parent, a teacher, coach, pastor. We remember things. We're shaped by what that's our design, you know. So I was interested in the opening prayer of Colossians chapter 1 that Paul emphasizes that idea so much in the opening prayer of Colossians. The word hear or heard is repeated a few times in the prayer. I love that he opens the letter with this, after his initial greetings and blessings, he opens with this prayer of thanks. What a great way to start anything, prayer of thanks. Sounds like a good pattern for a Christian, doesn't it? Give thanks in all things. Give thanks at all times. In all things, give thanks. He says this in verse 3 then. He says, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. There seems to be this emphasis on the idea, again, of hearing, because, again, we're shaped by what we hear. Now, the downside of being shaped by what we hear is that we are shaped by what we hear. And that can be a negative thing as well, can't it? All of us can relate to times in our life when we were directed, not in such a good way necessarily, we were directed by what we heard everybody else saying or everybody else saying we should do. Peer pressure, if you want to use the phrase herd mentality. Probably everybody in the room tonight has participated in some kind of a herd mentality. It's the way animals, you know, you got this herd of animals and the leaders in the herd are going this way and the rest of the herd isn't giving much thought to it. We're just kind of going along with the herd without really much thought to it. And pretty much all of us have followed the herd at some point or another. At some point or another, we probably wore a certain style of clothes because that's what everybody else was doing. We talked a certain way and used certain words and certain slang because that's what we heard others saying. We wore our hair a certain style because that's what everybody said you were supposed to do. That's the style everybody was doing, peer pressure. pretty much every stupid thing I ever did as a teenager was because it was somebody else's good idea. All the idiotic things I did as a teenager because somebody said, it'll be fine, I promise, it'll turn out just fine. I can neither confirm nor deny that President Brooks and Dave Kohiser did similar things as a teenager. We're shaped by media. We're learning all the time now, especially among our young people and all the studies, how we are absolutely shaped in our psyche and our emotions by all the things that we're hearing, we're bombarded by on social media. We as adults the same. But we're learning of all the emotional struggles and emotional illness that's coming out of our young people in these days because of what we hear. I have to be careful, I don't know about you, I have to be careful in my own life about the things I listen to. I have to actually be careful about how much news I watch because it can awfully get depressing, you know. I have to be careful about what kind of books I read because I find myself so susceptible, really, to what I hear. I find myself so easily being swayed, yeah, that's a good idea, by the things that I read, so I have to be careful of that. It's probably something, a little bit of the situation that Paul was dealing with when he wrote this letter to this church in a place called Colossae. He'd actually never been there. It was about 100 kilometers east of Ephesus where he had started a church. And through some teaching and some influence in the lives of some people, they started this church in Colossae based on Paul's teaching and on the Word of God. It's some years later when he's writing this letter. We don't know much about Colossae yet. It's actually still underground. It's not yet been excavated, although they're preparing to do so hopefully in the next few years. What we do know from archaeologists is that Colossae was probably a small, dying town. Not a big city, a small town, a dying town. And maybe you've lived in a small town before. If you've ever lived in a small town, you understand how it is in a small town. Everybody knows everything. Kind of like being at camp meeting. Kind of like a small town. Everybody knows everything. Everybody hears everything. And along with that, then, when everybody knows everything and everybody hears everything, you know, there tends to be an increase in peer pressure. I don't want to be the odd man out. I don't want to be strange. I don't want to be thought of as weird. So all the more pressure to follow the herd in that kind of a setting. It's about 6 years after that church was probably started that Paul's writing this letter to them. And there's this obvious emphasis on the need to clarify some truth. Obviously, the purpose of the letter is to clarify truth to these beloved Christians that were in this church. And we don't know all the details. Again, it's not been excavated yet. We don't know all the details yet. We'll probably find out more in the years to come. We don't know exactly what the false teaching was that was bombarding these people. But we know that there seemed to be some new teaching. There seemed to be some new ideas. There seemed to be these, like, new trends in thought that were bombarding this little church in Colossae. And what we can tell from the letter is that Paul's really clear, really strong on the fact that they needed the truth. You guys, we really need the truth of the word. And tonight I say to that, amen, we do too. We need the truth of the word. But the other thing that's obvious just in the reading of the letter is that what seemed to be happening in this little church, in a little town, was what I would call this herd mentality. Again, they're being bombarded. These new teachers have swept into town. These new thought trends had kind of come up. These new ideas. People saying, oh, you got to listen to this. And, oh, you better think this way. Oh, you better talk that way. Oh, you better be accepting of this. Oh, you better be tolerant of this. Hey, you better go with this trend or else you don't want to be left out. You don't want to be uncool. You don't want to not be hip. You don't want to become irrelevant. So you better go with this. And that's the pressure that was coming upon these Christians in this church. There was this pressure to follow the herd, to go different than the truth that they had heard. If you will, pardon the phrase, instead of sticking with what they've heard, they were tempted to follow the herd. Follow this, follow that, listen to this. Oh, go with this new thought that we're talking about instead of the truth of the word. At the very least you can say about this church, the very, very least you can say about this church was that this group of people is probably just downright confused. They're confused. They started out on this teaching of Paul, the teaching of the word, and now they're hearing all these other things all over the place. They're being absolutely bombarded by all these new ideas out here, these new trends, these new thoughts. You better listen to this. And they're just a bunch of good people who are absolutely confused because of the pressure. I believe the same thing's happening today, don't you? I believe what's happening today in our churches and in the Christian church in these days is that instead of the truth of the word, we are in the church, in the Christianity, we are absolutely, at least in America, we are absolutely in these days being bombarded by new truths. Oh yeah, there's the truth of the Bible, oh yeah. But hey, if you really want to be relevant, if you really want to be in, if you really want to reach millennials, if you really want to, you know, be cool and hip and with the trends of our day, you better listen to these ideas and you better be accepting of these thoughts and you better talk this way and you better go with these kind of ideas. We're being bombarded and it's downright confusing, isn't it, sometimes in our day. Somebody I know very well that I trust very well in their spiritual life attends a so-called holiness church, one of our so-called holiness churches. They're solid in the word. They're solid in their faith. And they said they come away every Sunday from that just feeling confused because of the things that they're hearing from their pulpit. Confusing times. So the question this evening for us, and I think this week for us, is what are we going to do about that? Because we're going to have to go back to that. We're going to leave these beautiful grounds. We're going to leave the bubble, if you will, of camp. We're going to have to go back. We're going to go back to our world. We're going to go back to our churches. We're going to go back to our communities. And listen, this bombardment is not going to stop. The bombardment that we're having in our day of all these new ideas, of all these new philosophies, of all these new trends of thought that and these voices are loud, are they not? They're loud, and they're intimidating, and there's pressure, and it's not going to quit. It's not going away, so what are we going to do about it? I love Paul's approach to this. I really have been impacted by Paul's approach. First of all, he starts out with thanks for this church. Oh, I thank God for what he's doing with you all. But then what he moves into, beginning in verse 4 and 5, is this. I love what he does because he's not down on them. This is just a bunch of people that's confused. They didn't do something wrong. They're just absolutely confused like we are sometimes because of these voices sound so convincing. These voices in their day sound so intimidating. Listen, you better listen to this. And they're saying, man, here's the word that we've heard, and now here's what the herd is saying. And man, what do we do about this? And so instead of coming down on them, instead he's not wagging his finger at them, you foolish Colossians. What he's doing is he's just saying, you know what you really need, Colossians? You guys know what you really need in your lives? You guys just need a reminder of the truth of the word. That's what you need. You all just need a reminder. Look at what he says in verse 5. You guys just need a reminder. He says, he reminds them of the of which you heard before, the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Come on back. Don't, instead of listening to the herd, come on back to what you heard. Come on back to the truth of the word. You guys need a reminder. Now, I really relate to this because I don't know about you tonight, I need a lot of reminders in my life. Anybody need reminders in your life? You might call me Mr. Post-it Note. I mean, just, I live on those things. I have to have reminders on my phone all the time, you know, alarms and reminders. And if you ever see me in church typing on my phone, what I'm probably doing is I'm sending myself an email to remind myself to put something on a post-it note. That's probably what I'm doing. I need a lot of reminders in my life. Because you know how it is in our lives. We live in confusing times, and the herd is saying all these things around us, and we're busy, and it's easy to be distracted in our lives, and it's easy to be caught up in the good things of life. And sometimes I just need downright why I come to a camp meeting is, and why I come to a camp meeting to listen to Dr. David Smith and Dr. Joseph Donjell is because I need in my life a reminder of the truth. I need a reminder. That's what camp meeting's for. Let's come on back to the truth. And so what is it that they needed reminded of? Again, verse 5, what you guys need a reminder of is what you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. You guys just need to get back to the word. Because that's not what all the new voices are talking about in our day, you'll notice. They might use a scripture, they might proof text a scripture to try to support some idea, but it's not really the word. So we need to get back, he says, to the word of the truth of the gospel. And so everything in this letter from this point on is going to be all about the word. It's going to be all about the truth from the word of the truth of the gospel. And what is this gospel he's talking about? When you read Paul's letters, you find out that the gospel is not a five-point plan. The gospel is not a Roman road kind of thing. You know what the gospel is? It's Jesus. Jesus is the gospel. So what he's essentially saying to them, what the Colossians had to be reminded of, what we have to get back to Colossians, because you're hearing all these voices, there's this pull, there's this pressure, there's this thing going on around you, all around you being bombarded. We need, Colossians, you know what we need? We need to just get back to the word and Jesus. We need to get back to Jesus and his word. That's the great, especially in confusing times, Colossians, when everything's swirling and you just don't know what to do and you're saying, man, what's going on here? And what am I supposed to believe? With all your heart, get back to Jesus and his word. Can I tell you tonight, I think that's the great need of all times. It's a great need of every revival. Whenever there's been revival in the church, we're talking about throughout the history of the church, whenever there's been revival, it's because God's people got back to Jesus and his word. Whenever we got off of that, the church went through tough times and there were dark ages and the church was stagnant and the church was anemic. Whenever we got away from that, and then in times God would move and the people of God and church history will come back to this same, let's get back to the word and let's preach Jesus. And whenever they did, God would move again and there'd be revival and great awakenings all throughout church. Get away from it, stagnation. Get away from it, deadness. Get away from that, hey, nothing much is happening, no revival. No evangelism, no missions. But whenever in the church history we got back to this, God brings revival. The simple truth of the word of the truth of the gospel. Remember what you heard and just keep hearing it. That's why you come to a camp meeting for 10 days, isn't it? Why else would a bunch of people come and stay in white buildings in some place for 10 days, except that you're saying, man, we need to get back. We want this. This is what we want in our lives. We need a reminder. We want to get back to the word of the truth of the gospel, and we want it to be so overwhelming in our lives and in our minds that it is what washes over. It drowns out all the voices in our day. Because again, the voices aren't going to stop. You're going to go home from this place and be bombarded. Our teenagers are going to go back to school this fall and be bombarded. They're going to be on social media and be bombarded. Hey, these new ideas of philosophy in our world going on right now about what spirituality is, they're not going to go away. We're going to be bombarded more and more and more, and more churches are being pulled into that kind of thing. So it's not going to stop. But you realize tonight, by the grace of God, God's people can get back to the word and get back to Jesus, and that can drown out everything else. Come back to this. Come back. Come back to this. Now you realize tonight why we need to get back to this herd, not follow the herd, but what you've heard, okay? Let's get back to the right kind of herd mentality. Oh, I want to get back to what we've heard from the word, right? Instead of following the herd, get back to what you've heard from God's word. So you understand why that's so vital and important, don't you? Because we believe, do you believe this tonight? I hope you believe this. There's power in the word. Power in the word. Man, God's word is powerful, isn't it? Remember what the writer of the Hebrews said in Hebrews 4:12? The word of God is what? Living and powerful. Watch out for this in your life. we should have put a little warning somewhere on the tabernacle. When you come in here tonight, watch out, power of the word. You're messing with dynamite here. Hey, watch out if you do your devotions, but better put a little warning label on the bottom somewhere. If you get into this, it's going to mess with your life. Power of the word. Remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ because what? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For what? It is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. So the word's powerful. Look at how he describes that in verse 6. He's talked about this word of the truth of the gospel, and then he describes how powerful it is, what it does in verse 6. He says it has come to you as it has in all the world and is bringing forth fruit. Look at what the word does. It comes to you, it brings forth fruit, some translations say, and it brings increase. Man, kind of sounds alive, doesn't it? That's because it is. We believe in this living word tonight, right? The reason we're so convinced in a holiness camp meeting about this book, the reason we don't tolerate anything else, the reason we're so dead set on the preaching of the word is because we believe that it's out of the written word that the living word himself speaks and reveals himself, and he's our need. That's why we get back to the word, because we want to get back to the word, Jesus himself. Reveals himself out of this. I mean, look at how it's described, how powerful it is. It comes to you. It produces fruit. It's increasing in the world. And look at how powerful that is. He says it's increasing in the world. It's increasing in you. It's so powerful and able. It sounds like the book of Acts. The way those disciples would go around. I mean, just common guys like you and me, they didn't have special abilities, no special talent, they didn't have a lot of money, but they go around just preaching Jesus and preaching his word, and boom. Whew. Anybody feel like we need a Book of Acts movement in our day? What other hope is there, family, tonight for the church? What other hope is there for America? What other hope is there for the world unless God can do that again in our day? Book of Acts, kind of the power of the Holy Spirit out of the preaching of Jesus and his word. In fact, he says it's so great, he said this here, it's so great what God has done in you guys. Why would you get away from this, Colossians? Why would you listen to other stuff? It's been so great, we've been hearing about you all. Look what he says in verse 4. We've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for the saints. We've heard of it. It's in verse 6, it's come to you as it has in all the world. Man, we've heard, look at verse 9. For this, in verse 8, verse 9, this reason since the day we heard it. Man, it's been working in your lives, you all. It's been powerful what God has been doing among you. It's the talk of the town, what God's done among you through his word. So why would you want something else? Why listen to all this stuff? Why listen to all this baloney? That's a Greek word. Back to Jesus and his word. And so there's two things we can say with seeming certainty on this. One, again, I hope you grasp tonight. I hope you are impacted tonight. I hope you are stirred tonight in your life. Not only this week, but when you go home. I pray tonight. I pray earnestly that you would be gripped in your life by the power of God's word. You want to see the power of God in your life? Get into Jesus and his word. Watch what he does. I dare you. But the second thing I would take away here is this. God's design for his word is that it would be heard and known through people. Now, I'm a big fan of the Gideons, and I love the Gideon Bibles, and I love the fact that you can go to almost any hotel in America, open the little nightstand drawer or somewhere, and you've got this. But did you notice that God's plan, especially the early church, God's plan to reach the world, he didn't just drop 7 billion Bibles from heaven. The plan is that this Jesus and his word would be heard through us. So in fact, if the word is going to be heard out there. Do you believe our world needs God's word tonight?
Yes.
Three of us do? That's good. Do you believe your community needs God's word? Do you believe the youth of our day need God's word? Do you believe tonight that Jesus and his word, that's the answer to everything we're dealing with in our society right now? See all these new ideas. We've got to do this, and we've got to support this, and we're chasing our tail in the world trying to fix things when all the time Jesus and his word is the answer. Everything, every societal issue, what's the answer? Jesus. Human sexuality, Jesus. No matter what answer you want to name, no matter what problem you want to name in our world tonight, Jesus and his word. They need our world, our church, our families need a word of God. But here's the deal. In order for the word to be heard by them, it has to be heard by... Did you catch that? If the word's going to be heard by, well, our world needs the word tonight, by golly. Our world's going to hell in a handbasket. I always wanted to say this in church. Our world's going to hell in a handbasket. Yeah, that's right. Our world needs the word of God, by golly. That's true. That's true. But if they're going to hear the word, they're not going to hear it unless we do first. We've got to be the hearers of the word. Dale, would you begin to help me close this service? What kind of people are we talking about tonight? Oh, we're talking, you know what kind of people we need tonight to be the avenues of God's word in the world? Here's what we need. We need people with PhD degrees. That's what we need tonight. We need people with amazing, charismatic personalities. That's what we need tonight. We need people who have their life together in such an amazing way, you just say, wow. No, what kind of people does God do this through? Just people who are available. People who hunger tonight. You hungry for the word in your life? You hungry for God to speak to us tonight? You came to a camp meeting service tonight because you said, oh God, I'm here tonight. I'm coming to the service. I'm even going to go through the rain for it. God, I'm coming out to a service tonight because I need to hear from you tonight. I need to hear from you. Oh, I pray that you'll speak to the teens. Oh, I pray you'll speak to the children. But God, I came here tonight because I need to hear from you. Who tonight will be willing to say, Lord Jesus, would you please help me with this? Would you please do a work in my heart tonight? Would you please do something in me tonight and this week that brings me to every service of this encampment? Up on the hill, youth tabernacle, morning services, evening services. But man, I want to come to these services with an attitude that says, oh God, speak to the teens, speak to the young adults, speak to the children, and oh God, tonight. Did you come for that tonight? Who'd be interested in saying, right here tonight, I'm going to come to every service in that way. Hey, God, you want to speak to me every night? Hey, God, you want to speak to me every morning service? I'm not taking any services off. By the way, you don't have to stay in your cabin to take the service off. You can sit in this tabernacle and take the service off. No services off for me, God. It's me, O Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening tonight. You understand tonight that's the key to revival, isn't it? Oh, we want revival. You guys want revival in the camp this week? No, thank you. Let's just go through the motions this week. Let's just have a family gathering. Let's just eat good meals. Let's listen to Ron Brendel sing. It's awesome. Let's just have a nice time this week. Let's just go home. Let's all feel better about ourselves. Let's just But if we want revival this week, you want revival in your life, or revival in camp meeting, we need revival in our camps and in our churches, by the way. If it's going to be revival, it's going to be an attitude that says, Jesus, give me a herd mentality tonight. Me. This is not like in school when you had a teacher who called on you and you hide behind the kid in front of you. Made it through another class. Whew. We come to services. Whew. It's a step down the aisle tonight and saying, God, you see me? Speak to me tonight. And you understand tonight to have a herd mentality. We're talking teenagers tonight. We're talking senior adults tonight. And this, wouldn't it be amazing if in this camp meeting, I see a lot of camps where teenagers lead the way to the altar. Wouldn't it be something if senior adults led the way? I can say that because I am one now. Grandpa. Wouldn't it be something to see grandma and grandpa's, hey, Jesus? Well, he spoke to me last year. He wants to speak again. Oh, he spoke to me last night with Dr. Smith. He wants to speak again. Where's the quota on altar trips? Show me. Went once during camp meeting. So you understand tonight, if we're going to have this kind of mentality in this camp, it involves humility, doesn't it? Much easier to say, speak to the teens, God. Speak to my wife, God. Who's willing tonight? Speak to me, God. Not just tonight. Would you give me a herd mentality? No services off. As Ron leads us tonight, I'd invite you to an altar tonight. Because it's me in need. You need him to speak to you tonight? This week? Need revival? Maybe you can't kneel, but you could sit on the front row, see room up here. Maybe you could raise your hand. What are you going to do tonight to be an active listener and let God know and everybody know? Herd mentality. While Ron leads us tonight, you want to stand? If that's you, you want to raise your hand, you want to come to this altar tonight while Ron leads us. Would you join us tonight in a herd mentality tonight in your life? Would you join us? He'll bring revival. He'll bring revival this week. Join us.
Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus.
Get back to Jesus.
Jesus.
Back to you, Jesus, in your word.
Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, Jesus. there's just something
bless this guy tonight, Jesus.
About